You know a button doesn't work if you try to turn it the wrong way, so even though you are sure you're turning it the right way. Have you ever done that before? No, you've never really done that. Well, it looks like I'm missing way over half the class. I don't know what happened. I hope I didn't frighten you out on the first exhortation that we looked at this morning. Huh? Not us, you came back, that's right. Now in Bible college, when I went to college, we could not skip a class unless we were ill and in the infirmary. You see, part of the Christian life is being where you should be when you should be. Now, did you get that? Being where you should be when you should be. And sorry to say, if you're not there, according to the scripture, you're not where God wants you to be. Now, you can like that or don't. I mean, you don't have to argue with me. You can argue with God all you want to, but I'm going to tell you right now, you lose. Okay? So you might as well not even take it up with him. Let's look at another exhortation of Paul. Tonight we're going to look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. And while you're turning there, I want to make a statement, and then I want you to think about this statement. Maturity in the Christian life is not measured by what we know, but by what we do. Did you catch that? Maturity in the Christian life is not measured by what we know, but by what we do. Philippians 4:9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. The exhortation is all summed up in one little word, but it is a powerful word in verse 9. It is the word do. Do. Maturity in the Christian life is not measured by what we know, but by what we do. If you want to look back at the first chapter of Philippians, we look at verse 10, where Paul gives us these words, that ye may prove things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. If you come over to chapter 2, he gives you these words at verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Verses 14 through 16. Do all things. There's that little word again, do. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Then chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, as we have looked at these verses, I tell you there is a powerful lot of things for us to do. And we might just want to hold up our hands and say, you know, it is just impossible to walk as Christ would have us to walk, to do as Christ would have us to do. I would have to say to you that that is not true. That is not true because God has made the ability for you to conduct yourself in such a manner that you can do all that he asks you to do. Because he has given his own spirit to live within you, to give you the capability of doing all these things. But what I find in the Christian life is that we often get distracted and we often end up doing our own thing. And when we do our own thing that we want to do, then we are not doing what the Lord wants us to do. And when we do that, we need to be exhorted, like Paul exhorts us here, to do what we have been called to do. Paul gives a couple of what we would call couplets to help us to see this. If you look at verse 9, he says, which you have both learned and received, and then heard and seen. Now, learned and received, that's while he was with the Philippians for a short time. He was there to minister to them, and he says, you have learned and received the word of God that I gave to you. Then he says, then you have heard and seen in me. You have seen me give you the example before you, how you should conduct yourself. And so, Paul is very concerned that the Philippian believers do what the Lord wants them to do. Apparently, that was not the case. Apparently, there were a couple of women in the church who are just not getting along. I don't know what they were arguing about. I don't know if they were arguing about the carpet in the church, not the right, I don't think so, in the right color, because in those days they met in houses. And I don't think anyone had the ability to say, you know, I don't like your carpet, Hazel. I think you should change it too. Yeah. No, I like my carpet, Mary. Okay. And so I don't think it was that. What I do think it is that there was just some disagreement, some little thing unknown to us. Okay? Can we put it that way? That way it fits all cases. Okay? But these two ladies did not get along. In verse 2, they are known to us as Euodias and Syntyche. There was a little boy who once couldn't pronounce their names, and he said, "Oh, she's an odor, and she is soon touchy." And so that were these two ladies, Euodias and Syntyche. And so Paul says to them in verse 2 that they would be of the same mind in the Lord. Okay, that they would be of the same mind, one in the Lord. So while Paul is wanting these Philippians to put into practice that which they have learned and received, heard and seen. There was this pastor who came to a new church, and the first Sunday morning he preached his sermon. On that Sunday night he preached that same sermon again. On Wednesday night, when they had their Bible study, he developed that into a Bible study. Come Sunday morning, he preached the sermon again. Come Sunday night, he preached the sermon again. Finally, one of the deacons pulled him aside and said, "Pastor, is it possible you could preach another message?" He said, "I will gladly do so when you do what this message has told you to do." Well, we need to ask our questions. How about us? Are we putting into practice those things that our pastor faithfully teaches us from the Word of God? Are we doing those things? This couple were faithful church attenders, and one Sunday the wife was not feeling well at all. She had the flu, and she was constantly in the bathroom, and she said, "Honey, I just think I better stay home." So he went on to church, and later he returned, and she said to him, "My! You are certainly home early. Is the sermon already done?" He said to his wife, "Well, it's been preached, dear, but it is going to begin to be done now." Isn't that a good thought? The sermon has been preached, but now we must get busy and doing what has been preached. So that is Paul's exhortation to do. Now he has good support for what he says, because if you turn over with me to James, the book of James, and we're going to look at chapter 1, the book of James. And James writes these words beginning at verse 22, chapter 1. "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now the principle is laid out in verse 22. James says that we are to be doers and not hearers only. It perfectly lines up to what Paul said in Philippians 4:9. James says there is far more than just hearing the word of God. If you want the blessing to come to you, then you must do what you have heard. Put into practice what you have heard. I don't know where I read it. I want to say it was Warren Wiersbe, but I'm not positive. I think it was he who said at one time, you really haven't understood the word of God until you have put it into practice in your own life. Now think about that thought. You have never really understood the word of God until you have put it into practice in your own life. You know, my friend, there is a great difference between reading a menu and tasting the food that has been described on the menu. I think we've all discovered sometimes what was described on the menu wasn't really what we tasted, and what we tasted was described on the menu perfectly. But you see, the joy comes in eating the food. There's a great difference between reading the prescription label and taking the contents of the bottle. The great difference in our maturity as Christians is between hearing the word and doing it. When one fails to put the word of God into practice in his own life, then he cheats himself out of the blessing of God. Now James goes on to give us that picture. He says this. He says, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Oh boy, James, you were certainly smart by saying a man and not a woman. You know there's a great difference between a man looking in a mirror and a woman looking in a mirror. A man can look in a mirror and just like James says, he's gone. But a woman, women can spend hours, yes, she can, in front of a mirror, if you want to. That's right, they have to have that time to reflect, but not a man, because notice what James says. Well, he beholds his natural face in a glass, and he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now there's two things that a man will do when he looks at himself in a mirror. He beholds himself and he goes his own way. And many approach the word of God just like that. They look at the word of God, but they go their own way. They don't put into practice what the word of God says. They don't think that they need it. For instance, do you remember the rich young ruler that came to Jesus? Well, he came to the right person. He had the right question. He was given the right answer. But he ended up going his own way. And he cheated himself out of the blessing of God. Well, then James says he beholds himself and forgets what he saw. He looks and he says, you know, I think my hair needs a little bit of help there. And I think I need to shave, but I'm just going to forget it. And he goes his own way. Some years ago, before digital watches came into existence, there was this advertisement for a watch company. And they asked two questions. The first question they asked was this: are the numerals on your watch Roman or Arabic or some other kind? So one would look at his watch and think, then they ask the second question. Now, without looking at your watch again, what time was it on your watch? And you know, most people failed to answer the second question, the most obvious thing that the watch was made for. It's in the same way that we approach the Word of God. We only see the words and we don't really see the vital truth that we need to put into practice in the Word of God. So we don't profit anything. We only cheat ourselves. Now, James goes on to say that we can profit at verse 25. He says, if we're being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. We will be blessed in the things that we do. It's wonderful when we walk in the will of God and do what he wants us to do. Now, there is a parable that Jesus taught. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. Let us look at that famous parable. I think it's so famous that we forget the truth that Jesus is teaching behind this parable. We'll read it and then I'll ask you a question, okay? Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream that vehemently beat upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Now, what was the vital truth that Jesus was teaching in this parable? What did he say was the vital truth? Verse 47 is precisely what he is saying. He is saying these words, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings," and note this little phrase, "and doeth them, I will show you what he is like." He's like the person who built his house upon a rock. And then when the storms of life came, the house did not fall. But the man who put his house on the sand, when the storm came, the house fell. You remember that little song we used to sing? The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came. A lot of truth in that. Because you know what the truth in it is? We not only hear the Word of God, but we do the Word of God. And if we become doers of the Word of God, then when the storms of life come, we will not fall apart, because we will have been grounded on the rock from the Word of God. One more passage I want us to look at, and then we'll close it up. I want to look at John chapter 13. John chapter 13. I'll let Jesus say the final words, okay? John chapter 13, and we'll begin at verse 14. This is the time when he washed the disciples' feet. Now, the disciples had come into the upper room with Jesus, and they were arguing amongst themselves who was the greatest. And none of them would take on the task of becoming a servant and washing feet. For you see, in each household, there was a basin of water, and there was a servant who would welcome the guest by washing their feet in the basin and wiping them with a towel. That was necessary in those days because they did not have paved streets, sidewalks. They had only these dusty roads, lanes. Sometimes there were nothing more but ruts. And you can imagine what that would be like when it rained and they walked in the mud. And so you did not want to go into a house that you were invited to for supper. So at the door, there was a servant who would wash your feet and dry them so that you could enter the home for the meal. Well, now the disciples, none of them were fighting for the towel. All of them were just wrangling amongst themselves who is the greatest. And Jesus enters the scene, and he sees that their feet have not been washed. So he humbles himself into the position of a servant. He takes off his outer garment, takes the basin of water and a towel, and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. Now he washes all the disciples' feet, Judas included. Now think about that. Jesus was faithful to Judas to the very end, called him friend, showed his love and his concern for Judas to the very end. And he washed every one of the disciples' feet. And then he says these words to them in verse 14. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should, there's our little word, do, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Now watch this. If ye know these things, happy are you if you, there's our little word, do them. So you see, Jesus had set the example before the disciples that they were to humble themselves and be a servant to one another, that they were to do as he had done unto them. Now there are things that we might not want to do, but the Word of God tells us that we are to do those things. And if we do those things, then we are blessed. And that's what Jesus is saying here. If you know these things, okay, so we know the truth of God's Word. But he says, you're only going to be happy when you do what God's Word says. And that lines up with what Paul says, that lines up with what James says, that lines up with the parable that Jesus gave about the wise man and the foolish man. If we want the blessings of God in our life, Paul says, then we must do. Not just hear the word, but we must, that which we have learned and received, that which we have heard and seen, we are put into practice. That's the exhortation for this evening. Do. So we got a lot to do. I won't give you an assignment, homework to do, but I think the Word of God will take care of that, okay? And class is dismissed.